There's something, they sprayed something into the house. Please come and help. Please, 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 please come help.
And how do you feel? Are you scared?
Yeah, I'm still scared. Okay. I need to live here. I can't stay here.
Okay. How long have you lived here for and been here?
Yeah. Since 1998.
Okay, sure.
Welcome to another episode of Boots on the Ground. Given that South Africa has finally moved to lockdown level 1 and is now slowly adjusting to its new normal, we have decided to adjust Boots on the Ground as well. Instead of just bringing you the latest on what's happening with South Africa's response to COVID-19, we will now give voice to the biggest news stories from Arena Holdings, publishers of the Sowetan, Sunday Times, Times Live, Business Day, and more. Today we will be dissecting the complex and controversial issue of farm attacks. We will dive into the first-hand account of survivors and interrogate the economic and social impact of these attacks. This podcast series follows Sunday Times top investigative journalists as they cover real stories that make up SA's national headlines. Today we follow Sunday Times senior reporter Graham Hoskins. For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national headlines, I am Zama Lutuli. Research by AgriSA shows that on average, a farm will be abandoned for up to 5 years by a farmer who is violently attacked, with dozens of workers and their dependents losing their economic livelihoods. For emerging Bloemfontein farmer Mimi Jacobs, when she hears of a farmer and their family being brutally attacked, tortured, or murdered, she has flashbacks to the moment three men burst into her home.
When I heard a loud bang on the door, and that was definitely not a bird who struck it, and they broke down the door, and when I saw them, you know, coming in, I just froze, and I couldn't move. And they attacked me. I felt a thud to my face, and I thought they hit me, and I could feel blood, and then they kicked me. It was a very scary moment, knowing that what's going to happen, because you know what these people do to farmers and how they disfigure them and kill them. And I was really praying that night, and I was fighting God that, you know, it can't be my time. I've got so much that I still have to live for. I've got unfinished business.
Jacobs describes the attack to us. Please be advised that the following description is graphic and may be triggering to some listeners.
The one guy who stabbed me had the knife to my neck all the time with my hair. My hair's long, so he pulled me by my hair, but he told me to look down all the time. So I was bleeding profusely because of the fact that my head was face downwards, and he kept on saying to me that I shouldn't look up. If I recognize him, then he has to kill me. At that point, I really didn't recognize him. He sounded familiar, but I couldn't place him. And then when they demanded money, I said to them, I don't keep cash on me, for security reasons as well. So I said to him, and when I said that, he punched my head on the counter of the table in the kitchen. And I think I sustained 3 fractures in my face. My jaw was broken. There's 3 other fractures over my eye. When they left, look, they tied me hands and feet, bound on the bed, took all the keys and left. And fortunately, I was able to bite my throat off. And I was bleeding so bad, I knew that I needed to get help, because if I laid there, I would have surely died.
Stabbed multiple times, beaten to a pulp, her jaw broken, face fractured, and left for dead. Yakubs chewed through her restraints with a broken jaw and stumbled through neighbors' fields before she found help.
So I struggled out, got out, went through the bushes, you know, because and I walked about 7 kilometers to my nearest neighbor in that condition while I was bleeding, and I felt I'm getting weaker by that time. And then when I was there, there were 2 girls only. The parents weren't home, so they didn't open, didn't say anything, but they called their father, and whom in turn called the police and the farmers union. And I left the house and I struggled back through the felt again. It was cold, wet. I fell several times, and I think I've hurt myself more than anything else doing that as well. But I made it to the road eventually, because I could see there were cars, lights, and there was a red light, and I knew that must have been help. So I walked towards the, I was very disoriented, but I walked towards the lights, where the lights came from, and one of the farmers picked me up in the road, because I collapsed when I got to the road.
Yakubs tells her story with incredible strength. It is only when she begins to recount the help her community provided that she begins to tear up. 7 months since the attack in February, and following multiple week-long hospital admissions, Yakubs, like hundreds of established and emerging farmers who have survived violent attacks, is battling to get back onto her feet and keep her farm productive. She is, however, grateful to be alive and moved by the support supplied by her farming community.
But I must tell you, that night I didn't feel alone. The farming community here has been amazing. It was such a great moment knowing who they, I wasn't alone at that point in time. There were over 70 farmers in the area, and they all queued at the ambulance just to give me a hug or take my hand to the stomach, and I'm not going to be alone. And I'm thankful that I'm alive.
In these situations, the strength, protection and support given by farming communities is vital and heavily relied upon. Anso Ru also relied heavily on the support of her community the night she and her family were attacked on their chicken farm. Ru has recounted her story for us and provided us with the voice notes she sent to her farming community group during the attack. Again, we remind listeners that this content is graphic, and we advise extreme caution.
My girls came in saying there were 2 men outside their window, and as we got up, the first window broke. They were throwing massive rocks through the windows, and then the next moment, all of the windows were broken at once, and they threw it. And as things calmed down, We could hear them trying to break open the doors. They were busy with a crowbar on the wooden door in the kitchen. And the other door here, we assume they tried to break it open by hand. The lock came, they broke the lock off completely. While they were throwing the rocks, I could manage to get a message out on our security group.
Please, it's urgent. They're all over. I can't see how many people. It seems like there's 3, 4, maybe more, because they're breaking windows on all sides of the house. Please come and help. I really don't know what to do.
Take place. And did they get anything? Did they manage to steal anything?
They did not steal anything. They wanted to get into the house. The attack was about 10 minutes, which really it felt like forever. It just...
Help me, I'm at L31! Help me, this is L31! There are people all over! They're breaking the windows from all sides! Can I help, please?
Yeah, so...
This is the first time on the farm here that you've been attacked?
We had 2 weeks before that, we had somebody broke our window from the car and just triggered the alarm, left everything valuable in the car. The cars got smash and grab. They ripped out the window. They broke it and they ripped it out just to trigger the alarm.
I mean, in terms of like what you were thinking and what went through your mind, I mean, what's...
Well, while we were busy, while this happened, we started coughing, and while the windows were breaking, got all the kids into the hallway, the passage, and I was there with my kids, trying to just figure out what to do, thinking that the passage is the safest place because they cannot get to us via the windows from the passage. And we started coughing, and I thought that either they've lit the curtains on fire, or they sprayed something into the house. So I rushed my children to the bathroom, dipped towels into the water, and covered their faces. And then as we realized that we're trying to get into the house, I hid the children above a cupboard where they couldn't find the children, so that if they can get in, at least the children would be safe. But I could only get 3 of them onto the cupboard. I've got 6 children.
There's something, they sprayed something into the house. Please come and help. Please, 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 please come help.
And everyone was coughing. We had this haze in the house. We could see the haze, but later on found out that they sprayed pepper spray into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And within minutes we had people here, and we think that is what scared them off, because by the time they were here, nobody was around the house anymore.
And how long have you lived here on the farm?
2.5 years.
Okay. And, yeah. And what is farmed here? Is it?
I do a little bit of chickens. It's just a hobby. It's not major farming.
Okay, so it's very small scale.
Yeah.
And I mean, your kids now. I mean, how are they now?
Well, since we've been back, we were out for 3 days. We lived somewhere else for 3 days until we had everything secured here. Mm. And since then, they've been sleeping in my room because we can't just leave them to stay on their own if something happens again. And I want them close. And they're a little bit afraid of being alone, sleeping in their own rooms. So. Mm.
And what do you think the motive was for the attack?
Well, everybody that was here afterwards said the only thing is they tried to get into the house. Everything else outside wasn't touched.
Mm.
They weren't trying to get something to steal. They wanted to get into the house.
While farm attacks in South Africa have often been labeled as a racial and political issue, it is a problem that has plagued all South African farms and farm workers. Farm worker Obed Ngwenya also briefly describes how he and his wife were attacked.
Yeah, they come on top of the roof and they cut the roof and they come in. When they come, they start to beat me. When they start to beat me, my wife was running away. They come back, they say, no, I'm going to give you money. My wife, they take the money, they give them. They say no. They need more. They take more. They give them. Okay. And they take my uniform and cell phone and take keys for my wife.
And what? So they beat you, but you said they also burnt you.
Yes, they burnt me in here.
Okay. Yes. On your buttocks.
Yes.
Okay.
With a fire.
What fire. Was it? Was it a stick that was burning for the fire fleet to cook your food?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And how long were they here for? How long did the robbery take place?
Here.
Yeah.
Maybe 45 minutes.
Ngwenya was badly beaten with a bottle and adds that there have been other armed attacks on the farms nearby his home. He says he no longer feels safe farming in the area and would like to move.
And how do you feel? Are you scared?
Yeah, I'm still scared.
Okay.
I think to live here. I can't stay here.
Okay. How long have you lived here for and been here?
Yeah. Since 1998.
Okay, sure.
Economists, food security experts, and rural community researchers warns that South Africa faces a dire job and food supply security risk because of the criminal onslaught against the country's 300,000 emerging farmers and 40,000 established commercial farmers. Farmers who buy up the land, according to the research, are unlikely to employ the original owner's workers as they have trust in their own workers. According to Stats SA data released in March, over 757,628 people are employed in the agricultural sector. This is down from 769,594 in 2007. Koos Odendel, who oversees safety in Ruval and Aliwal North farming community in the Free State and Eastern Cape, said the areas are in the line of fire from criminals. He also added that having to implement extensive safety measures places a huge financial and psychological burden on farmers and their productions.
The circumstances, the farming ability deteriorates quite a lot. And okay. The expenses is out of the roof because suddenly they get connected to security companies and install all security gates and fences around their houses. And it surely limits the movement ability of farmers because if you're not feeling safe, you think twice and you plan better to get things done while there is safety surrounding it.
One thing is clear, South Africa's farming community feels it is under fire. They do not feel safe. Jaco de Villiers, WVS Agri Board Chairman, said farming livestock in Free State, especially along the border, was a death wish for farmers. He explains how his community has shrunk and what the community attributes the violence to.
In 91, when I got here, we were 36 farmers. Today, we are nine. There's 9 farmers left in the district. From 91 till now, 36 to 9.
And why is that? Why has it gone from 36 down to 9?
The profitability of the farmers is not there. The miscreation of this fat cat image of the farmers is not the truth, you know. So when you are not born with hatred in your heart, somewhere down the line you get convinced that you should hate somebody, and if you are poor, who do you hate? You hate the rich. And that is the image. The farmers or the media or whoever created that image of welfare, which is not the truth. Mm. I can't see anything else. But the main thing is still, and I didn't answer you on what is the effect, because that's what you are looking at. The effect is that the squatter camps is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the effect of the farmers leaving the farms.
De Villiers explains that a combination of economic hardships and high-risk living conditions has resulted in a lot of farmers abandoning their profession, leading to an unemployment spillover effect in the surrounding farming communities. Dr. Vuya Mahlatsi, president of the African Farms Association, which held an anti-crime strategy meeting for emerging farmers this week, said that crime in rural South Africa is a nightmare.
So are emerging farmers starting to take the law into their own hand just because of the level of crime being meted out against them?
Absolutely, and they feel that nobody's there for them. In a sense, it's changing good people to actually protect what they believe is theirs. But it's a behavior we are discouraging as a FASA. Hence, we are bringing the security forces more and more.
And the level of violence that's being meted out against emerging farmers, are the attacks becoming more and more violent? And how many times in a week are you receiving reports of emerging farmers being attacked?
On a daily basis.
She added that rural areas are being decimated, lives are lost, and incomes destroyed. She said that farm workers especially bore the brunt of the criminal onslaught and that workers have no safety net if farmers leave their land. Finally, she stressed that police did not have the capacity to deal with farm crimes and that for the most part, farmers feel victimized and alone. Agricultural activity contributes 3% to the country's national GDP. And as it stands, the farmers and farm workers driving the economic activity are being made to fight for their lives or flee for their livelihoods. For Boots on the Ground, Behind SA's National Headlines, a production of Multimedia Lives and Arena Holdings, I am Zama Lutuli.
You are listening to Boots on the Ground, Behind SA's National Lockdown. Boots on the Ground is a short podcast series documenting South Africa's national lockdown as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19. Boots on the Ground is a true piece of mobile journalism. All interviews, voices, and sound effects have been gathered using nothing but smartphones. Boots on the Ground is a production of Multimedia Live, a division of Arena Holdings. Narration done by Samar Lutuli. Audio gathered by Graham Hoskin and Alex Patrick. Sound design and editing by Paige Muller. Production by Multimedia Head Scott Peter Smith. To catch the next episode of Boots on the Ground for free, please subscribe to the podcast on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.